Ma'am, miss, Lord Ingram called while you were out, said Mr. Mears, the butler, as he welcomed Mrs. Watson and Charlotte back into the house. It was tea time the next day, and the ladies had returned from another successful small case. For the services rendered, Mrs. Watson had collected £2.12.5. The amount was no pittance. During Charlotte's time as a runaway, that much money would have lasted her a month, if she didn't eat very much. But she estimated that Mrs. Watson could have demanded another half-crown, and the grateful client would still have considered their fees eminently reasonable. Mrs. Watson had been badly distracted. "Lord Ingram is in town. Thank goodness." Mrs. Watson closed her eyes and exhaled. His lordship's arrival came as no surprise to Charlotte. If he hadn't rushed to London after receiving her letter, she would have been astonished and perplexed. But now that he was here, she exhaled too, a great tension leaving the muscles of her neck and shoulders, making her realise that all day she'd held herself stiffly. "When he heard that you were out, his lordship asked for the key to number 18, said Mr. Mears. 18 Upper Baker Street served as Charlotte's office. It was where she met those who came seeking her brother, Sherlock Holmes's help, and informed them that the consulting detective was unwell and needed his sister to serve as both his eyes and ears and the oracle via whom he dispensed his great insight. Mrs. Watson settled her black velvet toque back on her head. "Thank you, Mr. Mears. Let's go see him, Miss Charlotte." Mr. Mears, always prepared, held out a covered rattan basket. "For your tea, ladies." Charlotte inclined her head. She had not eaten much this day and looked forward to an extravagant tea. She hooked the basket over one arm, Mrs. Watson took her other arm, and they exited the house. According to the calendar, March was less than a week away, but there was no hint of spring in the wind that cut Charlotte's cheeks, the cold that seeped in beneath her clothes, or the sky above that remained a resolute grey. "Did you write Lord Ingram, my dear?" asked Mrs. Watson in a low voice. "I wanted to ask you to write him. Oh, how I wanted to, but I couldn't bring myself to do it." "Because he has children to think of," murmured Charlotte. "True, but he would have been extremely upset if we'd kept him out of the matter." She sounded unhesitating, but before writing him, she had wavered for 20 minutes, a long time for an otherwise decisive woman. She was not inclined to withhold the truth from those to whom it mattered. But if she could predict how someone would react upon receiving a particular piece of information, then in relaying that information, was she letting a grown man make his own choice? Or had she already taken away every choice except one? He did have his children to think of. With their mother in exile, his safety was of paramount importance to their well-being, and De Lacy's impending visit was no ordinary peril. In the end, she had arrived at her decision as she had arrived at the decision to meet Moriarty's representative. By relying on both the coldest logic and a rather shocking amount of intuition. It was the same problem and needed precisely the same calculation of how much danger they faced at this specific moment in time. And now, the fate of those who mattered the most to her rested on the accuracy of her assessment. "It will be all right," she said, as they stopped before their destination. "Yes," replied Mrs. Watson, a little too fast, almost as if she'd been holding her breath, waiting for this exact reassurance. The stucco exterior of 18 Upper Baker Street had been mended and cleaned, the front door given a new coat of black lacquer. The renovation had been Mrs. Watson's idea. If the ladies were seen outside directing masons and painters, then they must not be thinking of running away from Moriarty. Charlotte had no way of knowing whether their act of feathering the nest convinced anyone of anything, but the door itself, freshly lacquered, certainly gleamed. The lunette window above the door was lit, as were the parlour on the next floor where Charlotte and Mrs. Watson received their clients, and the adjacent room that served as Sherlock Holmes's convalescent chamber.